What's going on, folks? It is episode 72. I made it barely to the show tonight, running about 30 minutes late. But hey, we're here. We're going to preview. I got a special guest with me tonight. We're going to preview this Steelers game coming up on Sunday. Get into whatever else comes up, a little bit of college talk and who knows what else. So let's go. Welcome in, folks. It is episode 72, Out of Your Falcon Mind, on the Variety Sports Network, coming to you on Thursday night, a little bit late, but I made it. My kid had he's actually in a steel drum band, and so he's the only, I found out tonight, the only steel drum band, middle school-wise, in the state of Georgia. So they had their first performance tonight, and it was awesome, but he had to help get the pans back to the room, and we had to go get food afterwards. So anyway, I was eating Chick-fil-A and drinking and everything on the way home and walking up the stairs, and just finished it before we got on. So, but we made it. And Mike's not here tonight. Again, as you can tell, if you're watching on YouTube, he is still sick. So hopefully he'll be better. He'll be back next week to join us. But if you guys watched any of the draft coverage and any of the pre-draft kind of evaluations that we did last season, then you guys know Troy. He's a longtime friend of mine, college fanatic, Falcons fanatic, you name it. So as he's here to join me tonight, and we're going to talk about it. Troy, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Good to be back on. Hate that I missed Mike. Hope he starts feeling better.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I know we should. It's been, I can't believe last time you were on was prior to the season, and now here we are, like, damn near season's over. I mean,
like, week almost. 13, time flies.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, man, so first of all, before we get into anything, again, I said that I'll put a little video out on Twitter and on Instagram, the whole Spotify rap thing that they do every year. So we just, we got ours, and crazy, man. Like, I mean, I know we put out a lot of content, you know, the two shows a week starts adding up, but I didn't realize it was almost 65 hours worth this year. Then we were in the top 30% of shared podcasts, which is awesome. So I said it on the post, but man, thank everybody. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. However you're getting us, we much appreciate it. You know, liking the videos, like I'll say every week, that helps us out so much on YouTube, trying to grow the channel. And the 5-star reviews on iTunes and Spotify, just keep those coming. We love them. You can email us atlfalconfancast@gmail.com anytime, about anything really. So yeah, just huge thanks to everybody, because it was really cool to see those numbers probably. And that's just Spotify, you know, that's just a small little section, doesn't include YouTube or, you know, iTunes or anything else. So that was really, really cool. So man, heard you're going to a little important game this Saturday.
Well, it's not as important as it should have been if LSU wouldn't have crapped the bed last week, but yeah, no, I'm still excited. Still a lot to play for. Definitely lost some of its luster, but I mean, anytime you get a chance to win the SEC, and for those of you that didn't hear me previously, I'm an LSU guy. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, so I'm an LSU fan. I do live, you know, with John in Georgia, so in the midst of a lot of UGA fans, including my wife and all my in-laws. But yeah, I'm going to the game and excited. Don't really have high expectations.
That's the best way to be, though. You go in thinking this, like, eh. And then if it happens, you're surprised.
I'll say this, you know, coming into the season, and John knows this, I had low expectations for LSU in general, and especially after the FSU game, and even probably more so after the Tennessee game. But like you said, I mean, when your expectations are at their lowest, LSU has performed their best this year, and I hope they show up. That's all I can say, because, you know, Georgia, when they decide they want to play, they've looked really good. I know they've struggled against, I guess, Missouri and Kentucky, but they look really good against good teams. So we'll see. Yeah. Should be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I was, it was funny. Like, we didn't even, I don't know if I even texted you or what, dear, after the Alabama game, or I don't know if we don't know if we texted or not. I think we might have done it, shared a few texts.
Yeah, we did, but a little bit.
Yeah. But like I was worried going into that game because the way Jaden Daniels had been playing, you know, like he had come off one of his best games, I think. And I was like, man, we don't handle, early Alabama doesn't handle those type of quarterbacks all that well, especially if he can throw. And he was throwing well, you know, not to mention number 40, I think, on defense. My God.
Yep. Dude, was kind of his coming out party. And yeah, I mean, everybody knows who he is now. So
he's going to, I mean, if next year, if he could come out, he'd probably be top five.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if he could give him, I mean, you know, he's a ridiculous athlete. If y'all aren't, it's Perkins, right? Harold
Perkins. Yep.
Yeah. Harold Perkins. Yeah. Y'all got to check him out. He's ridiculous for LSU, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun game. And I think if they can hang with him for, I think the depth will eventually get to him. But I mean, you know, if Jaden's playing a good game and, you know, they can maybe get a turnover or two, I think they can stay in it for three quarters. I don't know that they can stay in it for all of it, but I think the first half for sure should be competitive. I mean, we don't know about the whole game, but yeah, it's, I mean, since Alabama's out, I just want chaos. Like, I want nothing but chaos. So I want LSU to win.
Well, chaos would be good for Alabama. I mean,
if
TCU can lose, if maybe Michigan can lose, I mean, yeah,
Bama's TCU still should have freaking lost to Baylor a few weeks ago, man.
That, oh, no doubt.
Running on the field and kicking the field goal, man. Oh my God.
That was the most bizarre. Yeah. No timeouts. But no, Bama wants chaos, and they're definitely still in the mix. And we've all seen it before where they can figure out a way to backdoor themselves in. So
yeah.
Yeah. I totally get it there.
Yeah. No. I just want to see nothing but just everything explode this week. So it'd be fun. And I mean, I think of the matchups, I mean, like I've seen if Georgia plays Michigan again, and last year I thought Michigan was going to give Georgia a game, and I was totally wrong. They just, I mean, it wasn't even close. And I hate to even say it again this year, but like this version of Michigan looks a little bit tougher than last year's version. Yeah. And knowing that Georgia doesn't have exactly the team they had last year, I think it's going to be more competitive if that's the matchup that we end up seeing. But, yeah, well, I guess we'll just wait and see after this week, see how it all shakes out. What's up, Anthony? I think you meant John, but I got you. I know what you mean. Ready for the Steelers? Yep. We got this. They'll rise up. Falcons. What's up, Troy? He's great, man. He's always joining up on our live streams. All right, man. So yeah, looking at the Steelers game, they beat the Colts on Monday night. You know, did you watch any of that by any chance?
I did. I mean, you know, and I'm kind of like Mike. I'm still riding the Matt Ryan train to the death. So. Yeah, I try to keep an eye on that.
That's unfortunately approaching, buddy.
I know. I think we're already there, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, I did, and yeah, I mean they're riding some good momentum. That was obviously a good win. Kenny Pickett's kind of coming to his own, so yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah, he's had three straight games now with no turnovers, no picks or anything. So that kind of sucks for us. I mean, that the only thing, and I mean, I've been listening to several Steelers podcasts this week, and the one thing that they've said about Kenny is that he's not great when he gets multiple looks and the defense changes up throughout the game, and you know, they show one look and end up being another. That to me kind of sounds like a Dean Pease kind of special, because he's really good at masking defenses and giving a look and going into something else. Whether the guys can actually execute it correctly or not is another story. But, you know, if that's something that he has trouble with, and then we can give our pass rush a little bit longer to get to him if he's confused or whatever the case, then I think that kind of goes in our favor. But we'll see. I mean, looking at the injury report, man, big one is Najee Harris. He hasn't participated yesterday or today with an oblique. So don't know his status for Sunday. Obviously, another Alabama running back that, you know, just like Brian Robinson, big horse of a dude who's going to just, you know, he's not going to go down with one arm tackle, or, you know, he's going to take multiple dudes to get him down. That would be huge if he doesn't play. And looking at their other ones, Minka Fitzpatrick was limited today with ribs. Another Bama guy, and Miles Jack was limited with a knee. TJ Watt limited with the ribs.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later. But yeah, that's a huge one. At least in my mind.
I mean, I know, and I mean, a lot of the pods I listen to, like they're all saying like it's not the same TJ as prior to his injury again coming back, but it's still, you know, a pretty dominant dude. And then another one Benny Snell, who had been kind of spelling Najee, is also kind of dinged up with a knee.
He had a good game Monday night.
He did. And then Cameron Hayward was just was non-injury related yesterday. Just said coach's decision. So I don't know what that meant. Maybe just hanging him out, letting him you know relax for a little bit. But big body in the middle there, obviously. So I mean that's something you got to deal with. And for us, as Elijah Wilkinson was designated to come off of IR, but as of yesterday, and I haven't seen anything else to say otherwise, he didn't feel like it was going to be a good shot of him playing on Sunday, which kind of sucks because he kind of solidified that left guard position for us earlier in the season before he went out with an injury. But Ebiketie was limited both yesterday and today with that forearm. I hope they just put a cast on it, something. I mean, just something to get it out there because we need him on the field. And then Chuma Edoga, our fill-in left guard, limited yesterday, did not participate today. So looking like Colby Gossett probably on Sunday. And then Jalen Dalton did not yesterday, the limited today. So maybe we can get him back on the defensive line. And then Cordell did not do it yesterday. He just said he was resting. That's all it says, non-injury related. And he did not participate. Today, I think it was the same. And just actually has a little dash. I don't know if he was in practice today or not, but either way, I think he'll be fine. He's just he's got that kind of Tony Gonzalez status where he can just kind of rest when he needs it, type of thing.
So, he's earned that.
He'll be all right. Yeah, we got three backs. I mean, we're good. We got. I mean, if Caleb's got to get in there and get after it a little bit, that's fine. We can handle a bit more Caleb Huntley. Anyway, looking back at that game on Monday. Outside of Matt Ryan looking like he's 85 years old, I'm telling
poor,
you, that's
poor Mike.
I'm telling you, dude. Like I felt bad. Like on Monday, or not Monday, but when I did the recap show for the Commanders, I did it by myself.
Yeah.
And I said then, man, like it hurt my knees to watch Matt run. And he's never been that fast. It's just he looks a lot slower.
Yep.
I just felt so bad for him. Like, man, it's time to become a QB coach, buddy, or just, you know, retire with your hundreds of millions and family and call it a day. So Kenny Pickett on Monday was 20 for 28, 174 yards, no TDs, no INTs. Did get sacked three times for a 23-yard loss. And of course, everybody knows George Pickens around here. That's their big – I mean, that was their big kind of receiver they got in the draft. A lot of guys wanted him with the Falcons. I would – raise my hand. I'd been just fine having him here, just having that mentality and that type of, I'm very happy with Drake. Don't get me wrong, but watching Pickens, you seen him this year, man, just throwing guys off the line. Beast. Hilarious. Yep. Hilarious.
He's a monster. I mean, we all knew that it was there.
Yeah.
We talked about it on the wide receiver preview show, but he was always a beast. We just kind of questioned his work ethic and just general character, but he's definitely panned out to be a stud. So
yeah, it was always with him. It was always his maturity and, you know, and all the other things. It wasn't his talent. Everybody knew he had the talent, you know, and he's definitely showed it this year. And he'll only get better and just a physical receiver. So whoever's up on him, if it's Hall, man, he better be ready because he'll get his ass shoved in the ground if he's not careful. But, yeah, and then, I mean, Deontay Johnson, who I have on my fantasy team, he really hasn't done much of anything this year, so he's riding the bench. He's on there. Of course, you know, Claypool went to the Bears. We've already seen them this year, so really not – I mean, receiving core-wise, they're not – they don't scare you to death. I mean, it's just, I think it'll be – I would assume AJ would be locked up with Pickens, actually, to be – you know, that would make more sense.
That's what I would have thought, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that'll be an interesting matchup because they do get physical too. He's a you know physical DB as well, and then everybody knows on the defensive line TJ Watt and another guy, Alex Highsmith, man, 10 sacks this year from the other side, and so Alex Highsmith looks like he's going to be going up against Matthews, and then what scares me to death is Caleb McGarry against TJ Watt.
Yep,
I mean even like a 80% TJ Watt still scares me against Caleb McGarry. Yep. Because he's McGarry's shown you so many, and he's done some good things this year, but he's also showed you like he can't defend a speed rush to save his life. And so I don't, some of that stuff like that, I mean, and just, you know, TJ's kind of like, he's kind of like his brother. He's a power rusher type of guy, but he's got some moves and he's got some speed. So depending on how bad those ribs are, I don't know how that'll affect him or not. But that one worries me a little bit. That whole matchup worries me.
Yeah, one stat that I saw that I didn't really realize is how effective he or their defense in general is against the run when he's in. When he's played this year, apparently, according to DVOA, they are the third overall in the NFL against the run. When he doesn't play, which we know it's about half the season, 30th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, like I said, I wouldn't have thought that at all, but I mean, that's a huge game changing, you know, him being in the lineup. And as we all know, the Falcons are very one dimensional and need and rely on the run. So yeah, healthy Watt definitely scares me.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, after last week, cause going into last week, that was our thing on the show is we kind of figured that the Commanders D line would tell us whether or not we're going to have success in the game or not. If they controlled it, we probably would be screwed. If we could run, we probably stay in the game, if not win the game. And obviously we stayed in the game. We freaking ran over their ass. We killed their defensive line for most of the game, which was awesome. So like, I have a lot of faith in our run game. I think we're going to run against whoever we line up against. But that's crazy numbers that he was that third and then 30th. That's wild. Yeah, so I mean, I'm still confident. I mean, after watching last week and seeing that D line and see how we move those guys, I think our guys can still be successful, especially with the backs and the way they run. But I mean, the Steelers, they're kind of like, I mean, I think they hadn't scored in the last 3 weeks. They've scored over 20 points, and before that, that span, it was like they weren't even sniffing. I mean, it was their offense was just terrible, and their offense is still not great. It's just, I mean, ever since they switched from Trubisky over to Kenny Pickett, they've had, you know, it's just been, you know, the stuff you're going to go through with a young quarterback. And the offensive line's been pretty good. I mean, the offensive line's not bad at all. In fact, they've gotten better as the year as went on, actually. But yeah, I mean, it'll also come down to, you know, Mike Tomlin versus Arthur Smith too, you know, and Tomlin over the years is, you know, pretty good coach. Obviously he's been there for a long time. So, I mean, that, I don't know. What about like either the defense or offense? What about the whole thing worries you the most going in to it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, so I guess big picture, they're very evenly matched teams. I think that, I mean, I might would give the Falcons a slight edge, you know, in a neutral.
I think we're 1-point favorites right now. That's the last time I saw.
Well, what I've seen is they opened as a 1-point favorite, but are now after Monday night, I guess the Steelers got all this love because they looked so good against the Colts that it has now flipped to 1-point dog for the Falcons. But I haven't looked in today or in a couple of days, but yeah, that's pretty shocking to me. But I mean, I think the Falcons have a better offense, no question. The Steelers have a better defense, but I'm confident. I'm in the same boat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, a healthy TJ Watt probably scares me the most, and just our ability to run the ball, just especially having seen that stat in knowing how much we rely on the run, especially without Kyle Pitts in there, just very one-dimensional. Pickens does scare me. I know if it's AJ Terrell, you know, he might match up okay on him, but he's a beast. I mean, you already talked about it, but he's very physical and has made some unbelievable catches this year. So he worries me a little bit. And just, yeah, our ability to not be one dimensional. I'd like to see Mariota kind of air it out a little more, but
yeah, that's either good or bad.
I know you and Mike had talked ad nauseum about, you know, that and Mariota in general, but I don't know. I totally get living and dying by the run game, but you know, they're pretty effective against the run.
Yeah. And we'll get off on other topics in a little bit, but I saw a stat earlier today, 53 starting quarterbacks this year in the league. 53 different quarterbacks started this year. Isn't that crazy? That tells you, like, we talked about it before earlier, but like the quarterback play just in general is just down. I mean, like, yeah. on a lot of like it's wild.
I mean, that's almost on average every team starting two quarterbacks at some point, which is bizarre to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, your worries are pretty much the same as mine. I it's hard not to be concerned about TJ, especially if he's healthy. Like I said, the other side with Highsmith, both those guys, and then Miles Jack's a playmaker. Never really got a good run there in Jacksonville, but you know, kind of found his own there. Minka Fitzpatrick is a damn good safety. Can come down, hit you pretty good in coverage as well. You know, he's probably the guy who would have been like the Kyle Pitts guy if Kyle was in the game. Obviously, he's not. So, I mean, I was pretty happy with the way he caught the game last week, even with Mecole Pruitt, because, you know, that the way he's got free in the end zone, like Kyle's not getting free in the end zone like that. I mean, you know, like he's not there. Nobody's going to lose Kyle Pitts on the field. But so not having him, you know, it sucks. But there are ways that we can scheme open the guys we do have that are not as talented, you know. But it's interesting, but and if y'all haven't seen Pitts, he is out for the season. If y'all haven't seen that yet, they announced that yesterday, I think, after he had his surgery, which is makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't rush him, but there's no reason to rush him back this year at all. Like, there's you're not in the middle of a I know that you're technically in the playoff race, but you're not in a hunt for a championship or anything like that. There's no reason to risk.
What are you talking about?
Mike's not here. We don't need all that crazy, crazy talk. Anthony said they better not let Pickett go out there and look like Roethlisberger. Seriously, we got to stop all that and eliminate these guys. Yeah, we are pretty well known for making shit quarterbacks look pretty good, to be honest.
I mean,
not that he's a shit quarterback, but you know what I mean? He's a young guy.
No, I mean, he's building confidence. You know, he did look pretty good against the Colts. So I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess one thing is they're coming off a short week, going on the road, haven't won back-to-back games all year. So we have that going for us for sure. But I don't know. I mean, like you said, we've historically have let these mediocre quarterbacks have crazy games. So
yeah, man. I mean, Sam Darnold, what was the dude from Detroit last year?
Timmy Boyle?
Come on, dude. No, we can't have that. I mean, that's – We've made guys like that's their career. Like they tell their grandkids like 30 years from now, I had that one game against the Falcons.
Yeah. Three for 300 on the Falcons.
Exactly. So, I mean, like we can't do, I mean, like I say, Pickett's not, hopefully we don't, I mean, I think Pickett's going to be better than just a mediocre quarterback, but we can't let a rookie guy who has had a pretty rough season overall come in and just like carve us up. We can't have that happen. And I mean, you know, with the pass rush, how it's been, I mean, if we're not able to, you know, defend that. I mean, the safeties, Richie's got to have a better game than last week. Both our safeties have to have better games than last week. I thought AJ played great last week. Watching him come back on that ball that he almost intercepted. I mean, that tells, I said on the previous show earlier that, you know, that tells me his hamstring's feeling just fine. Like you don't turn and accelerate like that on an iffy hamstring. Like that's, you know, that was good to see. So I think if he's full steam going against Pickens, I mean, you know, that's just going to be a fun matchup, I think. That's two physical guys who I think can get after it a little bit. So that should be fun to watch. The other side, I mean, I think we can't sleep on Deontay Johnson, though, because a lot of times during the year, number one guy is covered up a little bit by AJ, and then the secondary guy, like in the San Francisco game, you know, Ayuk kind of eat us up a little bit. So that's, you know, we can't let that guy, Dante or whoever's playing corner, if it's probably, I guess, assume it's going to be Hall again. That's got to be better, you know, than it was last week. And it's a very different type of receiving core than what we saw with Washington. So, I mean, like McLaurin is not a physical guy. He's speed and, you know, footwork and finesse. And, you know, Pickens is going to throw you off the line and, you know, a little bit different. I mean, other than that, man, if we can, similar to the, we have the same method every game, really, right? It's control the ball, run the ball, just control the line of scrimmage. Like that's, if we don't do that, we're just screwed. You know, and if we can put together long drives, get it in the end zone, not settle for field goals, because our defense is going to allow points. We've seen that. But, you know, they've been the ultimate. And we say this, you know, I feel like we say this every year, man. Oh, we got that bend but don't break defense. When I literally, like, how long have we said this?
Oh, yeah.
And this year is literally the definition of it. Because, I mean, between the 20s, it's just like, all right, they just go right down and have your feel. Like last week, dude, if I was Ron Rivera, I'm not calling a pass play, man. Like, I'll call a pass play just for the hell of it. But, like, there's no reason to. They were running all over us. I mean, Brian Robinson was 6.6 yards a carry. Like, that's why even pass? I mean, just, I guess, occasionally. But, like, when we stopped them, they got themselves stopped. They put themselves in, you know, positions to stop them themselves. So, I mean, like, we've got to whatever the issue was there. I mean, and I mean, we saw some good things come out of it. Michael Walker played a better game than he's played in a while. You know, Evans has still got to get a little bit better there. Anderson was kind of a little all over the place, which, you know, it's okay. Rookie type of guy, going to be that way. But, you know, we just have to be more disciplined against, especially if Najee is playing, you know, whoever they've got there. If we can just kind of contain that and not allow, I think if we don't allow them, if we can keep them under 20 points, I think we win the game.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think as I don't think there's any game left that we can say it's going to be comfortable at all, because we just don't play like that.
No, I mean, there hasn't been a game this year that's been comfortable. I mean, their wins and losses have been close.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't imagine. I certainly can't imagine this game being comfortable.
What's crazy is the 49ers game is the best game. I felt like, oh man, this is good. We're rolling on this one.
Yeah.
That was it. You know, and I mean, everything else has been, you know, we're either down and coming back, or we're up and trying to save the lead, you know, keep the lead, or, you know, back and forth. And that's okay. Like, that's just the team we have. That's fine. I'm not knocking it. That's just kind of where we're at as a roster. But yeah, I mean, you and I haven't really talked a lot over the season as far as like, I know we had the similar expectations, which really weren't much. I think beginning of the season, you said like 6-7 wins, same as me, I think.
Before the off season, I was saying, like, I think I joked one time, like 2-3 wins.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt really good about the off season acquisitions and the draft. And yeah, I was thinking like 6-7 wins somewhere in there. So
yeah, so we had the similar expectations. And so, I mean, we hadn't really talked. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, that early start, like I always tell, like me and Mike talk about, like the early start just, I mean, it got everybody's hopes up, I think, and was like, we're way ahead of schedule. And with the Bucks sucking so bad, like, you know, this is going to be, we have a chance to, you know, do something this year. So now it's kind of like the expectations have ratcheted up and everybody expects more. Well, maybe you should maybe dial it down a little bit. Like, what do you think?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say in hindsight, but no, I was very shocked that we started out as good and hot as we did. I never, again, easy to hindsight's 2020, but I don't think I ever got overly excited thinking that we're a contender. But I mean, yeah, I think if we finish the year somehow 500, that would be a huge win. It probably will. Yeah. At this point. And yes, I do think that's ahead of schedule considering our roster and, you know, kind of where we were this time last year, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expected, you know, not a very good record by midseason, and then Desmond would be in, and we'd be seeing what he's got. I didn't expect Mariota to still be our quarterback at this point in the season. I mean, it, you know, it's just, and Arthur said it, you know, it's because of the record, and we're in the division race, and he doesn't want to upset everything. And, you know, Marcus has got the respect of the team. He's got the support of the team, all that stuff that goes into it. You know, so, I mean, and – you know, like I said, we're not having this conversation more than likely if the Bucks are doing what we thought they were going to do, and, you know, be 9-3 or 8-4 at this point. Yeah. So, and they got the Saints team on Monday night too. So that's gonna, you know, I mean, that they always play them. I know it's in Tampa, but I mean, that's always a pretty close game for the most part. So I mean, the Saints have been kind of trash recently, but I mean, they could. You never know. I mean, like, Brady's not the same this year either that he's been in the past. So it's a little bit different. So, I mean, the four games we have left, is it four or five? Let's see, Steelers, Cardinals, five games.
Oh, it's five. Yeah.
Yeah. Five. So out of the five we have left, I mean, the Ravens are definitely going to be probably the toughest matchup of all of them. I would think with Lamar Jackson, but,
on the road. Yep.
On the road. Yeah. That'll be fun. But yeah, I can't, I mean, if we do something, if we win this week, I still don't think probably Desmond comes in. But
to me, as long as we're in contention, I don't see him coming in.
Yeah,
that's just me. I mean, as much as I would like to see him, at least see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Mariota is the team leader. He has the respect of the team. I don't think we're going to see him as long as we're in contention.
Yeah. I agree. So I guess we'll pop back to the game real quick. So we didn't do a score prediction. What would be your score prediction for this week?
Yeah, no, I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be close. Why wouldn't it be close? Like you said, the 49ers
are
the only game we've won by double digits. I'm going to go 23-20 Falcons.
That's what I guessed last week. I'm going to go I'm going to say the offense gets moving this week for some reason, and I don't know why. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, what the hell? Because, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll go 30-23.
All right.
Yeah. No reason at all. I have nothing to back that. No reasoning for it whatsoever. And we didn't talk about this too much, but what scares me, another thing that worries me too, is their pass rush. I'll give Mariota credit because last week, I mean, I was worried about that a lot with that line and how they were going to bring pressure. And he did get the ball out pretty quick. So, like, that was good to see. What does worry me is, like, if they're really rattling him and he's got no time and all of a sudden, you know, he reverts back to happy feet Mariota or bad decision Mariota, you know, which we've seen before, and that can throw a game really, really quick, you know. I don't know. I mean, because you saw last week, I mean, that the pass to Drake, I mean, he had time. He stepped up in the pocket, looked great, and the ball damn near hit the ground, you know, before Drake made the awesome catch. So, yeah. Like, that stuff worries me. But he turns around and makes a, you know, magician throw, too, and you're, you know, we've said before on the show, it's just the inconsistency that drives you nuts. That whole pass rush worries me a lot. But if they start forcing us into third and longs, like that's not a good recipe for us. Like mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this stat last week, dude. So we were four for ten on third down, and all four of those plays that we converted were design runs.
Wow.
So every other third down was a missed throw.
That's amazing.
How you can't, like, dude, I don't, like I said, they're probably, I mean, I didn't go back and look at every one of them, but I'm mm-hmm. sure there's some that's, you know, probably on a receiver, like the one that Oz, you know, probably should have had. That might have been second down. Either way, you can't win when you're 0 for the world, you know, on third down throwing, especially. So, I mean, it's really on our backs, man. It's on our running backs. If they can pound the ball and get us some of those third and fours, third and threes, where it's a doable type of thing, we'll win all day long. But if they force us to third and longs, they're going to be tough.
No, if we're third and long, we're screwed. I mean, based on that, if we can't, yeah. can't convert a pass.
Yeah, I know. See, Anthony said, I say 2013 Falcons. Yeah, I mean, that's a very possible one as well. I mean,
I'll take that defense.
Yeah, Anthony said force them to run. Yeah, you pretty much, yeah. I mean, depending on who their back is. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's and I don't even know why I picked 30 because, like, if we're looking at some of these pass scores, you know, like even the game, I think the CP scored the run back. I mean, like, our offense has only been scoring, like, 20-ish points a game. You know, like, we've had a few special team, like that special team score. And then, you know, I think a pick a few weeks ago or the fumble, whatever it was. And then, I mean, like, so our offense has not exactly been just turning along. I mean, they're efficient when we run the ball, but that's it. So that's what, like I said, that's what just drives you nuts about the offense. But we'll see. I mean, the building's going to be full of yellow towels more than likely because those guys travel everywhere.
Not much of a home field advantage. And yeah, as you know, I'm a season ticket holder. And, you know, as far as ticket prices, this has been by far, this one, Bears were pretty solid too, but this is by far the highest price game, which all that means is it's Steelers fans gobbling up tickets. So you're right. It's going to be probably close to half, well, maybe not half, but it's going to be a lot of Steelers fans there for sure.
Yeah, there always is. Yeah, it does suck. I mean, but you know, I don't feel like it sucks when other opposing fans come in our building, but like they literally go everywhere. Like you'll see Steelers fans at Green Bay. You'll see yellow. Yeah. I mean, yellow towels everywhere. So like, I don't feel as bad, but yeah, it still sucks to see opposing fans, you know, fill up your stadium. But yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, man. Like I think for the rest of the season, I'm going to just say that I don't know how I feel about the game, because it's so dependent on one thing. That's running the ball. And if we don't run the ball, then we're screwed. So we'll see. Gabriel, what's going on, bud? Said our offense could actually be dangerous if we had a QB who could throw the ball. Yeah, man.
Amen.
I don't want to be labeled a hater or anything, but you know, we've been talking about it for a while. I don't know. You and I haven't talked about it. So yeah. So what about what say you this year on Marcus? Let's do that. What Marcus, the whole deal? Like, what if you're the coach? What are you doing?
I was gonna even in
this situation of the playoffs.
Yeah, so I know you and Mike talk about it all the time. Yeah, and so I mean, we don't have to get too deep in it, but I mean, I do feel like he's done an okay job. He's an average, maybe slightly below average quarterback. He's kept us in games. He's got us in contention for whatever that's worth. To your point, if the Bucks were the Bucks, we wouldn't be in contention, so it wouldn't matter. But yeah. But I can't imagine benching him while we're still fighting for a playoff spot. As dumb as that might sound, as crazy as it sounds to be 5-7 and be in contention, I think you have to ride him. To me, the minute that you're out of it, then I'd love to see Ritter. I want to see Ritter play. You know, mm-hmm. I want to see what he can do, and if he's the guy. You know, it's not looking like we're going to be a top, you know, five draft team this year, so we probably won't be able to get one of those top tier standout guys in the draft, but I would love to just know what he can do, you know. So yeah, if we were, you know, 2-3-4 wins at this point and several games out of contention, I would absolutely play Ritter all day. But right now I'm totally team keep playing him.
Yeah, I've went back and forth on it. I've, you know, Arthur's in a tough spot because, you know, even if he, in his soul, if he wanted to pull him and put in Ritter, that's a huge risk, you know, because his TF, you know, and Arthur Blank is going to ask, dude, like, what do you do? Like, we're
no, that's it. I mean, part of me is like, you know, Arthur more than anyone. Okay, play the best. Let the best guy play. It's no different than college or anything else. I mean, I want to see the best guy on the field, and I would like to think that Arthur and his coaching staff know who that guy is.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that means that's telling us that it's Mariota, right? But to your point, if that's not the case and Ritter really is the better guy, the guy that gives us a better chance of winning, it would be a risky move regardless to pull him at this or to throw him in there at this point in the season, still in contention. Yeah. So for his job's sake, it's probably the most conservative move to just stick with Mariota.
Yeah, right. And that makes sense to me. When I see people tweet or whatever, go out and say, man, Ritter must suck because, you know, he can't even get on the field. Look, man, the second guy is getting probably no snaps with the first team offense during the season. It just doesn't happen. Like, he's running with the second team all year. He won't get first team snaps until he's announced as the starter. Like, that's just how that goes. I mean, like, if you don't show up at practice and the media sees Desmond out there with the ones, that's going to be all over everything, you know, like, oh shit, Desmond's practicing with the ones. So yeah, I mean, part of me wants to think that, yeah, he knows that either he's so comfortable knowing that, okay, we've seen enough of Desmond. We kind of feel like he's going to be just fine, that we don't need to rush him in there yet. And the other part of me is like, well, you know, like, I know we're technically in the race, but, and Mike and I discussed this before, like, how much is he holding us back? Like, you know what I mean? Like, could it possibly be better with Desmond? I mean, I know that he's still a rookie and stuff like that, but I mean, we've talked about it before.
I'm with y'all, and
it's a heavy risk. I know it. I know, because it's the unknown. Like, we don't know if Desmond's going to be good or not. We have no idea. He could go in there and suck, and then Arthur looks like an idiot, and we all look like fools. But it's just that we don't know. But what we have seen looks pretty good, and what we've seen actually makes us think like, oh damn, he might be a better passer. Yeah. And if we can get an extra 30, 40 yards a game, that may equal more wins. If we would have gotten that in several games this year, our record would be different. So. He's in a no-win situation, kind of.
No, that's it. I mean, Mariota, to me, has kept us in pretty much every game. I mean, we could easily have two more wins or two more losses, let's say, which is a huge swing from where we're at today. But you have to also ask yourself, has he won any games for us? And I don't know that he has. I mean, it's, you know, we're winning games with the running game clearly. So
I'd say the only one that was he put us in that 30-yard run against Carolina that put us in spot to win a game. To kick a field goal. That was legit. That was it. I mean, you know, the Saints game, the fumble, all that stuff. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, like you initially said, I mean, like he's been an average quarterback for most of the season, you know. It's just, and you don't, I didn't expect him to come out and be amazing after he didn't play for 2 years. I think
he's done better than I expected. He did my expectations, but
yeah, I mean, it's just some of the stuff that drives you mad. Just some of the open, like wide open, just layups that he either overthrows or behind or whatever. Some of those things is what get to you, man. Let's see. Jump back in the chat. Gabriel said, "I would love if we could get Lamar so much, dude. Lamar in this offense would be something else, man. Like, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it would be something else."
Yep, love to see that.
Yeah, he said Art is a good coach. He just has to play conservative because of Marcus. So, yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, I think we're run first offense, no matter what, whoever's the quarterback is. But I think that definitely affects how much, you know, in some of the play calls and everything else. There's no doubt about it. James, what's up, buddy? This is for y'all that saw our crossover with the Bolt Bros. This is James from the Bolt Bros podcast. Appreciate you joining us, buddy. Yeah, so we had a blast. So y'all go check that out, by the way.
Those were really good, by the way. Those were fun to listen to.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, it was fun. We're going to do some more stuff with those guys in the off season. Just have some fun because we had a blast with them. But and that's another game we probably could have won if we had a better quarterback because we missed some big throws in that one, man. But I don't know. I go back and forth in my head of like how I kind of want the season to end. Like I would, you know what I mean? Like as a fan, like you want to make the playoffs, like you really want to make the playoffs as a team, but you also really want to see your rookie, you know, like you want to see kind of like, cause you know, next year when we've got all the money to spend, you know, and we're going to bring in guys, like it'd be nice to know, like, you know, who's going to be our guy. Like it's not going to be Marcus. I wouldn't imagine, you know? Yeah. So like if it's Desmond, we need to, I don't know. It's just that's why it's like I've never been this spot. Like I've always just been like win, win, win. And I still want to win. It's just a matter of like, damn it. Like,
or like last year, lose, lose, lose. But yeah, it is a weird spot to be in.
Yeah. Anthony said, man, to be honest, Lamar Jackson's stats this year's wise is almost the same as Mariota's. I think he's only got 3 more touchdowns and like 300 more yards rushing. And he plays to the stats for us. There's a risk with Lamar. I mean, you know, like Lamar's upside obviously is a lot different than Marcus's. I mean, his arm is way better. Obviously, he's faster, quicker. I don't know how much Lamar's weapons around him hinder his ability or not, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not fully aboard the Lamar train. I think if they go out and do it, I'll be 100% supportive of it, but we have all that money to spend. I wouldn't, if Desmond shows us, if we get to see Desmond this year and he shows us enough to say like, okay, he's got the traits that we want to see in a starting quarterback, then I'm good with it. Like I'm good letting him ride next year and see what we got and go spend some money on both lines. Actually, if we just go load up on offensive line and defensive line, go get Jerron Payne, man, break the bank for him, get him next to Grady. You know, that type of thing, I'd be perfectly happy with. And I don't know that Lamar, they're going to let Lamar out of ball. He maybe priced himself out. I don't know. But, I mean, we'll see. Gabriel said, if this team tried that hard to get Watson, I definitely think they're at least going to try to get Lamar. Dude, yeah, I mean, that's not a lie. I mean, that came out of the blue, too. I was blown away by that. So, yeah, you're right. The fact that they went after Watson, I don't think we can predict anything. I don't think we know we have a clue of how they're going to go. And I mean, same goes for draft too, because I saw a mock draft today that had us taking Bijan Robinson 15th, you know, which, I mean, I'm not gonna be mad at it, but I mean, like if it's in JR, and I talked about it on Pound for Pound show earlier this week, like if he's there and he's best player available, I mean, okay, I guess. I mean, yeah, he's a stud, but I mean, like,
that's how many Texas running back, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's ridiculous. I mean, but I don't know that I'd again want to spend it on when we've got a pretty good. I'm good with our backfield, man. I said it on the last show. I'm good with our backfield.
Mid first round on a running back.
It's tough.
Especially with the backfield we have. I don't have any complaints about our backs.
Yeah. Anthony said, look up 2022 football comparison, Lamar Jackson, Mariota. I will do that, buddy. And actually, I'll look at I know people piss all over PFF, but I'll look PFF up in a second, too, because that'll tell you, at least like I said before, PFF is what it is. But, you know, they are all graded on the same scale. So it kind of gives you an idea. Let's see. So what did you think? I mean, like draft wise right now, just kind of way pre early, but where would you go?
I mean, obviously it depends on position where we land.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like where do you see our biggest need? I guess I should say that.
Honestly, like, you know, I mean, we did all the draft preview and I was all about pass rush. I mean, I feel like we've significantly improved our pass rush. So I'd probably get away from that. And then obviously quarterback, you know, me and you were both pretty hyped up about Bryce Young this time last year. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of getting away from him a little bit, you know, especially
he's going to drop a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we were a top five, I'm not sure I would take him, but I don't know. I mean, it depends on how far he drops, I guess. But
well, yeah, CJ Stroud's going to drop too. Like I have no doubt in my mind he's going to drop, especially he can't, after that last game against Michigan, and he's had some rough games that he just doesn't look like himself. But Gabriel said, I'd be so mad if we take an RB in the first.
I tend to agree with that.
I do not see it. And he said Lamar also has terrible weapons compared to Marcus. Yeah, that's what I just brought up. Yeah, I don't know that his weapons aren't holding him back a little bit.
There's so many guys like Algier. I know you and I talked about him a lot before we even drafted. That's your guy. Yeah, but there's so many guys that you can get in late rounds that are just good, you know, not, you know, like a Bijan Robinson kind of guy, but that are good enough to play in the NFL. And, you know, I mean, the shelf life for a running back, what is it? 3 years on average, somewhere in there. So
yeah, 3 to 5 years.
It's just a complete gamble.
It is. I mean, and we talked about it too, JNR and I. I mean, like, to get somebody in Arthur Smith's running style, you ain't got to draft somebody high. You need an angry, pissed off, like, you know, a capable pass protecting runner. That's what you need, you know. And like, you know, and we were talking about, you know, Tyler won't last in this league if he runs like this all the time. You know, I mean, you're going to get 3 or 4 years, solid, really good years out of him. Cause you, like I said on the last show, you saw what happened to Devonta Freeman, man. Like he was really good. Then he was really bad, you know, and he was hurt all the time. So, I mean, that's just
similar guy though, undersized, but a bruiser though would run you over.
So that's why I like our three guy setup here. I like having, I mean, granted, you know, if you want to keep that going, you know, Cordell's not getting any younger. But I mean, like those three guys having that spelling each other, I mean, like that's really nice to have. All right. So I just pulled up PFF for Lamar and Marcus. So Lamar has an overall grade of 85 with a 73 passing score and a 92.4 rushing score. 2,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions compared to Marcus, who has a 68 overall, 65 passing, which is garbage, and 69.4 rushing. He's got 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. His scramble yards is 189. Lamar's scramble yards is 197. So, yeah. Design runs for Lamar's 559 yards, 232 for Marcus. Yeah, I mean, like, and I know this is just PFF, but it's nowhere close. And like Gabriel said, I mean, the weapons that he has there, it's not even comparable to what, I mean, he lost Hollywood Brown over to Arizona. So, I mean, he's got Mark Andrews, really. that's pretty much the, you know, that's who he's got, which is great because he's my fantasy tight end. So, like, I enjoy that. See, Gabriel said, I would love to go get a number 2 corner in the draft. Yeah, man. Christian Gonzalez, I'd love to see that guy opposite of of AJ if we could manage to pull that off somehow. But we're going to, I mean, that's something we're going to have to address too. I mean, we don't have Casey Hayward. You don't know how long that's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a little bit, getting a little bit older. And I don't know. I don't think we have a number two CB on the roster right now, to be honest. I mean, Hall, I don't think he's going to be a backup, but.
Corner is a good call. That's probably where I'd go.
The Mariners don't have a lot either this year with third string receivers. We're not, we got good runners, but no one to throw to except London Oz and third string receiver. Well, up until last week, we had Kyle Pitts. We had London Oz. Hodge has been good. Bird has been good. Cordell Patterson out of the backfield. They can line him up. You know, I know he was hurt for, but I mean, yeah, I can't really say that about Mariota, man. He's got some weapons, and you, like I said, if you just look at some of the missed throws, yeah, he's had some drops, but I mean, some of the missed throws are like maddening, like really maddening. Gabriel said, at the end of the day, we're not going to be consistently winning games with a QB throwing less 200 yards a game. That's it, man. That's just the bottom line, brother.
I think it's six straight games he hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards, which is pretty sad.
Yeah. Kelee Ringo is the guy I want the most. Yeah, sign me up. I'm down with Kelee Ringo for sure. All right, man. So you want to get to a little in or out action?
Yeah. So you already took my first one, Falcons related quarterback situation. So we can move on from that.
Well, what was it? Was it literally that? Like, what would you do type of thing?
I was just going to ask you your thoughts on Ritter. I know you and Mike talk about it a lot, but you know, here we are in week 13. What would you do today? And so,
I mean, it's not my, if you know, I'm not the coach. So like for me, I'm rolling the dice, baby. I'm seeing what we got in Desmond. Okay. Like, I want to see what's going on. I just want to see if it's, you know, like I said, I don't expect him to. And the thing is, like, I don't expect him to just pop in there and be like a world beater. Like, I fully expect some mistakes and stuff like that. But yeah, that's just my curiosity, man. I just want to see. Kerry, what's up? Good to see you. Glad you're in here. And Anthony said, yeah, I would like Mariota to do better, but it is what it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, like, you know, like I said, he's just kind of a, like, you expect the type of game he had last week is pretty much what you expect every week. I mean, he's going to make some throws. He's going to miss a lot of throws. He's going to run the ball really well, which he did. You know, he's a bridge quarterback. That's what he is. He's here to help us get through this year. And I mean, hopefully we've, you know, in a better spot next year. As much as the great a guy as he is, not much has changed throughout his career, man. That's just, you know, if he was a really, really good quarterback, he wouldn't have been on the bench for 2 years. Like, he would have been starting somewhere. That's just kind of, you know, they don't let 53 starting quarterbacks this year in the league. Like, you're going to, if you can start and you can perform, they're going to find you. Like, you're going to be in the game. All right. So I'll go, buddy. And this is perfect for you. LSU will cover the spread this Saturday, which is now sitting at 17.5 points. Last I checked, and the over under is 51.5. What say you, buddy? Are you in or out?
So I would say this as a lifelong LSU guy, never bet for or against LSU.
So just don't bet them at all.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like I've done both in my time, and I think I've lost every single time, whichever way it is. If I'm down on them, yeah, I'll bet against them. If I am hyped up like I was last week, bet for them. And I think I've lost every, probably more than 10 times. So don't bet on LSU. Don't bet against LSU. However, to directly answer your question, if I were to, if gun to head, bet on the game, I would take the points. I think that LSU will show up. They will be motivated. I am worried about Jaden Daniels and how healthy he is. You know, he had some ankle, kind of rolled his ankle last week. He actually left the game a couple times. So, haven't really got a good answer or a good read on how healthy he really is. I know Brian Kelly is pretty optimistic, and of course he's wanting Georgia to prepare for him. But I don't know. I think that's the big wild card in that game, honestly. I'm not saying they're going to beat him, but 17.5 points is a lot of points in a game like that. And LSU, other than Tennessee, I guess, they've pretty much hung with everybody this year and, you know, given everybody a game. Georgia, I don't know how motivated they're going to be.
They're going to be looking past you a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's the question. You know, as we talked about earlier, when they may or may not have been motivated, they haven't looked good. They've had some stinkers this year. They know they're going to be in the playoffs regardless, but they need to really keep that one seed to, you know, pick your bowl basically and stay at home in the Peach Bowl. So I don't know. I mean, I just think in a situation like that where it's kind of a toss up line wise, spread wise, whatever, I would take the 17.5.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think they're going to show up too. I think they're going to cover. Every time I've doubted Georgia, they've made me look like idiot. So I mean, like that could just happen as well. But I think you'll see your cover. I'm looking forward to a good game. Christian, I made it just in time for In and Out. I love this part of the show. Thank you. I like it too. I enjoy it. All right, buddy, what you got for me?
Yeah, so I'm going to stay in college football. What are your thoughts? Sounds like it's pretty well official. 2024 is the start of the 12-team expanded playoff. 12-team playoff, in or out?
I think I'm out. I would have preferred like a 10. You know,
exactly.
Like eight to 10, somewhere in there. Like I'm going to watch it because it's going to be, you know, of course I'm not going to not watch it because it's going to be football and it's going to be on, but you know, I think you take the top 12 teams in a year and those bottom ones, you're like, ooh, like, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know. I like how the regular season means so much. Like every single game means so much. And it just taking that down a notch, you know, to me.
Exactly my thoughts. I think it will water down the season somewhat. You know, right now, yeah, you really can't afford to lose. You certainly can't afford to lose two games. You really can't afford to lose one game some years. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it will kind of take away that mystique of every single game mattering. But like you said, I mean, I'm still going to watch it. I know it's all about the money, and more games is more money. So
yeah,
it'll be fun to watch, and it'll get more teams kind of in contention. You've probably seen some mock, you know, playoff brackets of if it were to happen this year. And yeah, it would be interesting. It'd be fun to watch, but I just think it's too much. It doesn't give you that reward for being one or two or even three or four, you know?
Yeah. Well, it makes Alabama, LSU, for instance, you know, not as hanging on the edge of your seat because, you know, yep, you can afford to lose it, yep, possibly. And you start, you know, I'd still be okay. You know, that's, yep, which sucks because I always that game as I always wants every year, like whoever wins that game is going to be, you know, probably in contention, you know? So now it's not really the case. Gabriel said 17.5 is bigger than I thought it was. Yeah. I mean,
I think at one time the look ahead was like 15, and after LSU lost, of course. And then I think there's some uncertainty about Daniels. It moved pretty quickly to 17.5. That's the latest that I've seen.
Makes sense. I can see that. I couldn't believe they lost to Jimbo, man. Like that, I'm sure you don't even want to talk about it. But
I mean that was a scary game to begin with. They have a lot of talent. We know last year's recruiting class was arguably the best of all time for any team. So they've been a huge disappointment this year. And bottom line is they had nothing to lose. Some of that young talent has kind of come on the last week or two. So it scared me. I mean, and then of course the look ahead spot for LSU, you know, knowing that they were already won the West and looking ahead to Georgia. So I didn't think they would lose, and it pisses me off that they did, of course, but it's not hugely shocking.
Yeah. I think the best thing that they have going for them is that they're that big an underdog because I mean, that can piss you off or amp you up just as much, you know, as more than being like the favorite, in my opinion.
Well, that's it.
Anthony said the thing I like, Ritter, is when he messes up, you come back harder. He showed it last in the preseason. I don't think they don't count. He's got moxie, courage, determination, and dedication to win. Yeah. I mean, nothing that he showed us so far makes me think he doesn't have the stuff to be the guy. So, I mean, I think he could easily. I don't think I said to Mike, and I think it was Trey. I don't know if he was on the show with us, but I've never seen people so worried about the overall like part or the whatever. I don't know the emotions of a rookie quarterback before. Like, how's he going to handle it? Like, dude, you drafted one of the most mature guys in the freaking draft. Like, he's going to be fine. He's not going to pee his pants when he gets in there. He's going to be just fine. Like, he, those interceptions, he's not going to go back and start shaking. Like, he's done it before. He's going to, you know, that doesn't really surprise me that he would be just fine. All right, buddy. Are you in or out that TJ Watt is the biggest miss of this previous regime because TJ was drafted in 2017, 30th by the Steelers, and we took Sir Tech McKinley four spots before him.
I might have to log out on that account. Dude, the crazy thing is like you said, he was 30th. It's not like we missed him by one, you know, 29 other teams missed him.
Yeah.
And it's not like he like came out of left field. I mean, he had the name recognition.
Right.
Like, what happened? But I guess the bottom line is I'm in. I am 100% on board that that was a huge, huge miss for us and 29 other teams.
Yeah, I went back. I remember when we did the draft specials and we did pass rushers. I went back and looked at his what the draft expert said about him. Hilarious. Like, not a lot of bend, you know, not a good. I think they said he didn't have a lot of speed to power. I'm like, dude, that's exactly what he is. Like, how do y'all miss that? Like, that's what he does. He converts speed to power. Yep. But yeah, whatever. We've had a bunch of misses, and I know you can't, like you said, 29 other teams passed on him as well. So it's not like we're the only one. But man, like that one really hurts when you see him doing what he's done over
the course. I would of his love career. To see him in a Falcons jersey.
Oh, yep. God. Yeah, say the least. Gabriel said, what free agents would you like the Falcons to go out after this season, this offseason? Yeah, I'm all aboard the Deron Payne train. Already said that one. I'd love to have him here. Other free agents. There's not – what sucks is there's like the 1 year we've got a bunch of money to spend. There's not a whole lot of offensive linemen that are – you know what I mean? Like there's like a bunch of middle-of-the-road guys. Like there's no huge upgrade we could go out there and make on that end of it. Just think for a second. You got anybody out that you can think of off the top of your head other than – and I think you like Payne too.
Yeah, no, I do. Tom Brady probably. Just kidding.
Yeah. I was trying to think of position wise, like we're going to need a receiver, another receiver at some point. I think, really Payne, man, is that's the one that's coming to mind off the top of my head.
I mean, I don't know. And I haven't looked in a bit, but I don't know there's any really good receiver options. I know some of the older guys that may not have any gas left in the tank.
They didn't. I mean, Roquan's only on a one. He's just finished up. He's on like he's done after this year in Baltimore, right?
Is that right? Yeah,
I think so. Like, I'd be fine with Roquan Smith too, because I mean, they'd be, I think, a great fit. And there's a lot of people wanted Roquan this year, which I didn't see it this year because it doesn't make. We're not. He's the type of guy you would get if you're one or two players away from kind of making a run. We're not there. We don't need to give away draft capital to get Roquan Smith. But if we're going to just get him as a free agent, then yeah, I'll take him all day long. Wouldn't mind that at all. I think we're okay with safeties. Corners, I have to dig a little bit deeper with it on the free agency, which we'll be getting into pretty soon. Gabriel said, I think Mecole Hardman would be a sneaky pickup. Dude, if he's anything like he is on Madden, dude, like Liam has him on his Madden Ultimate team. That guy's ridiculous on Madden. I mean, just kick return, punt return, everything, man. It blows me away. And he said, Atlanta's never been a defensive team. We always boost the offense, have big offensive picks. Never seen this franchise go out for a defense. They might this year. Defense wins championships. Yeah, I mean, just in general, we don't really go for, like, I mean, we had the McGarry and Lindstrom in the same year, but like other than that, it's, we don't really go for the non-sexy picks. I mean, we kind of do the, you know, the splash sexy type picks, but we're going to have to get a little dirty eventually.
We like our skill positions. We talked about that during the preview shows. And
yes, we do.
We don't like to build in the trenches. We don't like the Belichick model.
Yeah, I wish we would. So I think with Fontenot and another guy's Onyemata from the Saints. I would love to get Onyemata out of New Orleans because he's a free agent, and that dude's a freaking train on the defensive line. I'd love to have him. All right. Anyway, all right. What you got? Next one up.
Wanted to go to baseball. What are your thoughts on the, I don't know if Questech's the right term, but kind of digital non-umpire balls and strikes calling? Is that in or out? To get away from behind the plate umpires and go all digital.
You probably have to ask me on a game to game basis, because I get super pissed when they miss calls for our guys. I don't know, man. Like, the old school of me doesn't want it because I'll miss the arguments and all the, you know, getting after the umpire and everything. But I would like to see more consistent strike zone because it is kind of maddening to watch, like, you know, some guys get calls, some other guys don't. You know, some I'm kind of on the fence, to be honest with you. I'm not in or out. I don't really know how I feel about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very much in the same boat there. I would call myself a purist for the most part, yeah. But you know, with replay, I know you can't, you know, replay balls and strikes, but right. A lot of those legendary Bobby Cox moments, you know, getting tossed from games have went away.
Yeah. Missed those.
So yes. Yeah. So do I. So, I mean, if it were just balls and strikes, I think there's just so much inconsistency and so much questionable, whatever you want to call it, that I wouldn't mind seeing it maybe just for that. That's kind of my opinion.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to like cry about it if they go to it, because, you know, I think it'll make the game more consistent. But yeah, I'm really sure. Cole said, what is John Abraham up to these days? Dude, he looks like he does, man. Like, he said he's probably got one more season left in the tank. If he looks like he was on somebody's podcast not too long ago, and that dude still looks like he could go out there and sack somebody. I'm all about it, man. Get the Predator back here. We need him. And he said, we need a good center and a good defensive tackle. Yeah, Payne would fit that defensive tackle in a heartbeat. And center-wise, yeah, I'm not sold on Dahlman yet. He's got games where he looks okay, and he's got games where he just gets trucked. And he's got games he can't snap the ball, which is almost every game he's snapping it low. And I don't know what's going on there. But I don't think there's any way they can draft a third. Well, this be the if we draft a center this year, that'd be the third consecutive year drafting a center. Like, you can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. You have to. Yeah, you got to figure that one out.
Well, I mean, we had McClure for so long that we kind of got spoiled having that longevity. But
and then Mac right after that. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, he was only here for 2 years or so, but he was a stud. You know, that time he was here. So, yep, you're right.
Yeah, and that preview it was Peter Kahn's little experiment we had, and it was terrible.
Yeah. Thanks. So, yep.
Yeah, that was not good. And he said Brett Nealon. Yeah, good call, man. That's awesome. All right, man. In or out. Christmas music is now in your rotation of music on your Spotify list or whatever the hell you listen to.
So, unfortunately or fortunately, I have a wife, and my wife is...
You better say fortunately. She won't listen to this podcast.
So, she is like basically Mrs. Claus. So, her Christmas starts
in... So, she's like my wife.
Yeah. So, her Christmas starts in... February, March, maybe.
Oh God!
No, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but no, she's basically, for her, like, no lie, Halloween. She's done. She skips Thanksgiving and she starts putting up the Christmas stuff. So when I'm at home, yes, the Christmas music is in my rotation. Probably because of that, if I'm not at home, it really probably never enters my rotation, because I kind of get sick of it after 3 or 4 months of listening to it. So, kind of on the fence about that, I guess. I mean, I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
It is my favorite holiday, mm-hmm. but I get enough of it when I'm with my wife. I'll say that.
I'm not trying to be boring. That's exactly the same thing. Cause like Amanda has it on her rotation on Spotify, and it cracks me up, because then Liam's the same way. Like, they'll listen to it when I get in her car, and when it's in my car, we don't listen to it. We listen to whatever I'm listening to, whether it's metal or reggae rock or whatever it may be, old school R&B, rap, whatever. But when she's listening to it, man, it's funny, because they'll fast forward through so many. I'm like, y'all don't even like half these songs. Why y'all they listen to like 5 or 6 of the same songs? That's their favorite ones. I'm like, you really don't like Christmas music. You just like 5 songs. And that's it. But
all right.
Yeah, I'm with you though. I like it. I mean, like, you know, we went to my kids' Christmas concert tonight, and there was a ton of music there, so it was cool. Gabriel said our secondary would get a huge boost a major boost if we had a good pass rush. 100%, man. It helped them out so much. Cole said, I was literally typing Peter Kahn's. He said his name. The disappointment, man.
I'm telling you. I'm going to look real quick, Jim. He was a pretty high draft pick, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he was first round draft pick.
That's what I thought, yeah.
He's out selling insurance right now, I'm sure.
Second round in 2012.
Was he?
Okay. Huge disappointment, though.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes me feel better. I was in the first round. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Next up for me.
A little better. Yeah, so it's similar theme. Just got out of Thanksgiving, so yep. I know you and Mike talked about cranberry sauce in the last the last show, but kind of a bigger picture one, probably more controversial: turkey, in or out?
Oh, is there controversy over turkey? I'm in. Yeah, I mean, I'm in. I eat way too much. That's really the only time of year that
I eat it. So that would be my
turkey well, sandwiches.
So that would be my next question. So somebody, I don't even remember who it was, but I heard somebody say a while back, turkey's garbage. You know, if you were to ever go into a restaurant, would you ever order turkey when there's steak, chicken, whatever on the menu?
It's kind of a solid point.
And it is a solid point. So I guess where I land on it is once a year, Thanksgiving, kind of nostalgic. Sign me up. I'm definitely in for turkey. The other thing I would say is that trash or fire?
That is absolute fire. So you need to stop. I don't know how you don't like. Which one did you try? You said you tried one this year.
And oh, God. No, I can't do cranberry sauce.
Did you try the one in the can? It looks like a gelatin mold. That probably isn't cranberry sauce.
I tried the one that was on the plate at my in-law's house.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from.
The one that just looks like probably, you know, it just comes out in this little sludge, you know, like, you know, have you seen what I'm talking like? And you know, like it's probably not even cranberry, like real it. It's good. Like that's the one I like the best. So
yeah, you need to text me that exact brand because I haven't tried 10 different types of it.
It looks like a Jell-O mold just fell out of the can. That's what it looks like.
That's what this looked like. It was circular and looked like Jell-O and it was a little thin strip. Probably was it. And yeah, I can't do it, but,
Okay. Well, anyway, back to your question. Yeah. I mean, once a year, like you said, I mean, like I look forward to that because I mean, I'm going to have everything that goes with it, you know, all the stuffing and all the mashed potatoes, the gravy. And then after 3 days of eating leftovers, I'm like, I'm totally done with it. I don't want to see it for a while. So yeah. Yeah. You're probably, that's a good call. I didn't even think about it that way.
So my follow-up to that would be what kind of turkey, how do you prepare the turkey?
Anthony said turkeys, go to Cracker Barrel and get the turkey dressing. I never had it from Cracker Barrel. That probably is pretty solid.
I haven't either. But that's a perfect point, though. I go to Cracker Barrel all the time and have never once considered ordering turkey.
That's true. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, as you brought that up, I've never ordered it anywhere ever in my life. Like, so that's kind of an epiphany, man. That's crazy. So how do I prepare it? So this year, we got it from Sprouts. Actually, it was already prepared. We just had to put it in the oven for two, and it was great, dude. It was really good. And a few years ago, I had to put it on the green egg. Now that was pretty. Like the only reason I don't do it, but the only reason I don't do it, it's a lot of work, man. Like you gotta prepare it and monitor it all day long. You smoke it for hours on end. And really, all I want to do is just sit there and watch football and wait for it to cook somewhere else. I don't have to monitor and whatever, keep it together. So yeah, it's, Cole said half the Thanksgiving plate is.
That's true.
That's true, man.
Yeah. You have to your feet.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Yeah. I don't even know. Gabriel getting us back to football here. Look at you. How do you think our O-line will hold up against the Steelers D-line? Yeah, I'm kind of worried, man. I'm kind of worried, to be honest. Run wise, I'm not worried. I think, you know, last week, kind of to me, it showed us we can run against anybody. So if we can run against that front, I think we can run against this front. Pass wise, yeah, I'm a little concerned about that. It's going to be a lot, I think, more play action, get the ball out quick type of offense. That one bothers me. Like, you know, if God forbid, if we can't run the ball, then my God, then it's going to be a long, long bad day. He said, I'm terrified. Yeah, I can see that. I don't disagree with any of that. All right, buddy. So I got one more for you, or actually two more. I'll do two quick ones and we'll get out of here. Okay. We've kind of already talked about this, but it's in a different light, I guess you could say. Regardless of the outcome on Sunday, and no matter what the Bucs do, it's time to make that change at QB. Are you in or out?
So regardless if we win,
we have a bye week coming up. Perfect time to put Ritter in to install him. He's got a full couple of weeks to work with the first team, no matter what happens.
I think I think I'm in. I think you convinced me. Like I said before, I am kind of in the camp of it's hard to pull the guy that's keeping us in contention, as sad as that is that we're in contention. But I'm with you. I mean, I'm curious, and I'd love to see if maybe Mariota's holding us back and, you know, what Ritter might can do. So, yeah, I'm in. You sold me.
No, I mean, I'm definitely in. I think no matter what, I just think it's a perfect time to put him in. You got 2 weeks. You got, if you want, you're going to have four games left. You know, like I do think the Bucks will probably win, to be honest with you. And I, you know, I think we'll win too. So I don't think that's going to change, but we'll see. All right, man, you got another one for me? Are you that's, done?
No, no.
That's all you got?
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
It.
So my last one. Are you in or out that the NIL money has affected the way college players play this year? Like, are they as hungry as they used to
the
be?
The way they've played. That's a great question. I think it's definitely affected the game. I think it's kind of the Wild West with no free agency out there now. If it's affected the way players play, I mean, in a way, it really is free agency and they're playing for that next contract, right? So I don't know that players are less motivated or, you know, just not showing up because they've gotten a little bit of money, maybe in some cases a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that specifically, but it's definitely changed college football. I mean, it's like talking about Harold Perkins earlier. I mean, my fear now is he's going to leave. You know, he's going to look for that next big contract, you know, through NIL, right. And he may not be here for the next 2 years, and he may not be at LSU for the next, you know, year or so. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess big picture, something's got to be done. I'm all about, you know, the concept of NIL and players getting compensated in some aspects, but it really is the Wild West out there now, and I don't like the way it's kind of trending college football. That said, I mean, you know, like Texas A&M, for example, that had such a big year and without question was driven by NIL money. Look where it got them this year. You know, they had such a great recruiting class and spent all this money to bring in the best of the best. And, you know, it does kind of prove that you still have to have, you know, chemistry and, you know, team cohesiveness and experience in some cases. And of course, coaching. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's completely ruined the game, but no. It's definitely changed the dynamic of the sport. But
I agree. Say you. Yeah. The only reason I ask is an Alabama linebacker came out about 3 weeks ago and said that he felt that guys ain't as hungry as they used to be anymore because they got this money. And I mean, football is a tough sport. If you slack a little bit, you're going to get your ass ran over and handed to you. So like, you can't just kind of take it easy, but, it might be in the back of some of guys' minds. You know, they might be making business decisions, you know, in college, whereas before they're not. That's not the case. I mean, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I think where it could possibly affect folks is, you know, people that are kind of like Jamar Chase, you know, that set out his last season that mm-hmm. are kind of in that last year of eligibility, knowing that they're headed to the draft. They've already gotten paid. They're not looking for that next NIL contract. I can definitely see where that's it would a good affect point. Those kind of guys.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, if Bryce really wanted to, he'd have to play this year. The dude already made $1 million in NIL money. I mean, he could have just chilled.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, Anthony said, what do y'all think about Caleb McGarry? Do you think he'll keep him and sign an extension or let him go? I think if he's cheap-ish, we bring him back maybe if there's not a better option. I mean, I'd love to make an upgrade at right tackle, to be honest with you. I think we probably got – 2 or 3 more good years out of Jake before we got to start looking to replace him because he's getting up in age. But McGarry having, I guess, what you consider his best year on his contract year worries me a little bit. And he's still got a lot of deficiencies, so I'm not totally sold on him. What about you?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm with you.
Anthony's also said, I'm out on Ritter. Let him sit and learn and watch Merida. Let Merida finish the year out. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, hey, man. I wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me either way. Like I honestly, it wouldn't. I want to see what you got.
Well, let me ask you this, John. Kind of along the same lines. Let's just say we do follow your model and put him in after the bye week, so he closes out the season, and he just bombs. Like, not completely bombs, but he's not the guy. He doesn't appear to be the guy. In your mind, after call it, I guess 4 games, does that count him out completely for next year and years beyond? Like I guess what I'm saying is, like, would that in your mind decide whether he's the guy or not?
No, but I think it would depend on to me, and like, I think when we've thought about, when we had Trayshawn on before from the ATB network, if he loses those games, if he shows us all the traits that you would hope to see from, like, you know, he can make throws, he can make the long, you know, the deep out, he can throw the ball wherever, he can make all the throws, you know, he can make the decision-making is there. that type of stuff. Like if he, if he's got the, some of the intangible stuff that, you know, is going to get better as he gets more experience. Like I'm not out after four games. I mean, like we've talked about, you know, you saw Manning, Peyton suck bad for an entire year, and you don't see, you rarely do you see quarterbacks jump in the league and just boom, like they are the guy. It happens, but it's so, so rare, you know? So, no, I think, you know, I think you'll be able to tell at least, like I said, the intangible stuff, you should be able to have an idea, because you can't go into next season. The worst thing for us is to go into next season not knowing one way or the other, because you can't go to free agencies and say, hey, come here. We don't really know who our quarterback is, but come here. We'll figure it out. You know, like that's not a really good selling point. Like you want to be able to sell whoever you bring in here that, you know, this is our guy. This is going to be our guy, you know, that type of thing. Like I said, now I think, I mean, I know it's preseason, but we saw a lot of those good traits in preseason, man. I mean, like the poise, the confidence, stepping up in the pocket. He made a few mistakes, of course, but I mean, like some of the other stuff we saw, yeah. But yeah, I'm not out if he has a bad four games. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, I mean. All right. Let's see. Cole said, in or out. Getting an idea of what Ritter is capable of is more important to the future of the franchise than first round playoff exit this season. See, that's the thing, man. That's where John's in. That's what I'm hearing. That's my conundrum, buddy. Like it's like, is you love the team, and I cannot sit there. I've never rooted for him to lose ever. Like I've said, I cannot sit there and watch the game and not get pissed off. Even if we're out of everything, like I still want to win the game, you know, like it still bothers me. If we lose or play like shit. So like that's just a tough one, man. Like, cause I do think for the future of the franchise, it's better that we go figure out what we have in the guy we drafted, you know, because there are some really good, not that we're going to be there, but there are be other quarterbacks that will be in the middle round that might be there. You know, I mean, I don't know, man, it's just a tough one. We're in a spot. We're in a spot. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be mad either way. If we make the playoffs, hey, great. Hey, let's roll. But if we don't, then, and if we don't make the playoffs, we don't see Ritter at all, then that'll kind of suck. Cause I mean, like, you know, yeah. What was the point exactly? I mean, did you just want, I mean, like Anthony, like if you just want them to sit and watch all year long, that's fine. But like, we don't know. Like Arthur hasn't said, nobody has said the plan. Like there is no plan. It's just the only thing we heard, it was in the game when Moose called it, Daryl Johnson, when he said that, Arthur told them, I guess during the interviews, that he's been one play away from getting in all year long. And that's the first time I've ever heard anything like that. You know, that could tell you something. And he said, this is why we got to let Ritter sit. Arthur sitting him for a reason. If Ritter was just balling out better than Mariota, I believe Arthur would pull him for the Carolina game. Well, that's the thing, dude. You don't see that, though. All you're seeing is what he's doing with the twos. So, I mean, he'd have to, I don't know. That's a tough one. Gabriel said, to be honest, I'd be fine with tanking for Caleb Williams next year. I'd rather be really bad for one year and anything to be mediocre. See, that's another good point. Yeah, Caleb Williams is going to be number one, no matter, I don't care what anybody says. That dude's going to be number one, 24. And I don't like Sean Payton, but he said last week on, we'll end the show on this because we got to get out of here, but I'll end the show on this, but Sean Payton said last week on NFL Fox that he believed that Caleb Williams is going to be the reason that the NFL goes to a lottery style draft, because you're going to see teams next year just tank the shit out of it to get that guy. And I mean, he could be right. I never thought about that, but he could be very, very right. And yeah, I'm, it sucks, man. I'm with you. You don't want to be stuck in, you know, the 14th to 15th best team every year. That's kind of sucks too. You know, you want to be able to go for it. So it's kind of like the baseball analogy, dude. We've talked about it before. Like the Braves tore it down and, you know, had to suck for a few years to get better. You know, it's like we were rooting for them to lose because they didn't have the talent to win. So it was just kind of, you know, what sucks in football is we're almost there as far as, you know, having a few extra pieces next year. Cole says, crazy how the entire team hinges on the quarterback, because I swear this roster isn't bad. That's it, man. Like it's not as bad as everybody thought it was going to be. That's for sure, man. It was going to be, everybody thought it was going to be last in the league and, you know, one of the worst rosters ever. But yeah, you put a really good quarterback with this group, I think you're going to have a pretty special offense, man, to be honest with you, especially with this line keep getting better. Cole said, love the show, John. Thanks as always, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Really do. All right, man. Well, it's been an hour and 24. We've talked about everything. We got in or out in there, man. I got nothing else to add, man. You do? Do you, Troy?
No, that's fun. I love the interaction. Thanks, everyone that's on. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. This last time you and I were just doing Zoom. That's right. So yep. we've made it big time now, buddy. So
I know. It is, man.
No, man, we appreciate you guys that stopped in late tonight with us on the chat. We'll be back. I don't know. Hopefully Mike will be back in good health. You know, he's good. He's fine. He's not, you know, he's just sick. But hopefully he'll be back. We've got an early game Sunday. So I would venture to say the recap show will be on Monday. But if we have to do it Sunday, we could. We'll see. But we'll keep you posted on social media. Just look for us on Twitter or Instagram. Again, guys, thank you so much for the Spotify. Those numbers on Spotify were awesome. Thank you guys for watching, listening. Again, if you're here and you're watching, like the video, much appreciated. Share the video, you know, with your friends. Tell them, all your family, your Falcons friends and family, that is, about the show. And, you know, subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff. And we much appreciate it. And Troy, man, we're going to have you back for sure. That draft season's approaching. I'm sure if you're willing to, love to have you back, and we can look at some more film of guys that we've never seen before that play on the West Coast and try to figure out what the hell they're good at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's fun.
Anthony said, we had one Matt Ryan. He just wasn't able. Yeah. I mean, he had other issues too, and with some other parts of the team. Rise up, John. Be safe, brother. Yeah, you too, man. Appreciate Anthony. All right, guys. Appreciate y'all watching and listening. And again, if you're on iTunes, Spotify, drop us a 5-star review. If you're on iTunes, write us a few kind words. I will gladly shout you out on the show. If you want to email us anything, thoughts, you can write us a whole damn diatribe on whatever you want to write. We will read it on the show. If it's not like, you know, that we suck or something like that, we'll read anything that's good on the show. So ATLFalconFanCast@gmail.com. And y'all have a great rest of the week. Watch some championship football on Saturday. And think of Troy as LSU is playing Georgia.
Yeah, go Tigers.
I'm with you on that one. Like I said, I want to see chaos, so let's do it. All right, boys, let's rise up. Let's get a win on Sunday. Much love, guys. We'll catch y'all then.
Peace.